Hello Europe, hello world. Welcome to the first episode of a brand new podcast that tells the stories of the gymnasts of this continent as they travel the globe. We'll look backwards, we'll look forwards, we'll tell you what's happening now, and we'll cover all disciplines of gymnastics. Welcome to the European Gymnastics Podcast. Hello, Blythe Lawrence.
Hello, Ollie Hogben.
And hello, listener. Thank you so much for being with us. Brand new podcast.
This is exciting, isn't it?
It's wonderful. It's great to have you with us as well. As I like to say on air, it's great to have your company wherever in the world you are listening to this podcast from. We're the TV commentators for European Gymnastics. We've had the privilege, haven't we, since 2019, Stettin, is that right?
That was the first.
First one, yeah, of bringing to you all of the European Championships of Artistic Gymnastics and Rhythmic Gymnastics. And wonderfully, over the last little while, we've been starting to do commentary on trampoline, aerobic and acrobatic as well. And Team Gym, which I did in 2024 for the first time. And the reason we want to mention that is, Blythe, what exactly is this brand new podcast?
Well, it's many things, but essentially what we are going to be endeavouring to do is to inform you what is going on with the gymnasts of Europe on a month-to-month basis. And that comprises news reporting, catch-ups with European favourites past and present, and behind-the-scenes coverage from the competition floor.
And every form of gymnastics that's covered by European Gymnastics' calendar.
We aim to be comprehensive.
And I will fail and you will succeed.
Not at all.
But we're going to cover acrobatic gymnastics, aerobic gymnastics, artistic gymnastics, gym for life, rhythmic gymnastics, team gym, trampoline. Blythe, shall we start with what's actually happening in the European gymnastics calendar this year? It's a big year.
It is. And if you are a fan of European gymnastics, there are six key events to look forward to, beginning in April with the European Championships in trampoline, tumbling and double mini in Portimão.
Oh, it's a lovely part of the world, isn't it? Portugal. Beautiful.
Gorgeous. And Portugal is so accustomed to hosting fantastic European Championships. The gymnasts who get to go there are in for a real treat. And after that, there is the European Cup in Rhythmic Gymnastics, which will be happening in Baku at the end of April.
We'll talk more about the European Cup over the podcast series because it's got a really interesting format.
And then, on the heels of that, comes the European Championships in Rhythmic Gymnastics in the beautiful Black Sea resort city of Varna. That's happening at the end of May.
I'm so excited to actually get to go to Varna because the European Championships of Rhythmic were there in 2021, but it was a pandemic championships and obviously lots of things, including the commentary, were done off-site. I don't know about you, it's going to be thrilling, isn't it, to go there?
Absolutely. Then comes the European Gym for Life Challenge, which is happening in Italy in the middle of July.
And we'll talk a lot more about exactly what Gym for Life is in a later episode because it's a really important part of the European Gymnastics programme.
And then we're into mid-August and the European Championships in Men's and Women's Artistic Gymnastics happening in Zagreb in Croatia.
Croatia in August doesn't sound too unpleasant, does it?
No, not at all.
There will be a lot of very happy gymnasts at that event. Famously one of the most beautiful countries of Europe. It's going to be a fantastic competition. And then the weather will change a little.
And in mid-October, the discipline will change too. It will be the European Championships in Team Gym in Espoo in Finland.
And Team Gym is something we'll return to in a later episode.
Shall we jump in, Ollie, to episode one?
Okay. We're going to start with artistic and take it to the max. We'll open the vault and go back a decade with the Swiss who couldn't miss. And we'll backflip in Baku with Mr. Full Full Full. Blythe, over the Christmas holidays, there was one big bit of gymnastics news that everyone was talking about. It created maximum attention.
We are, of course, talking about the return of Max Whitlock of Great Britain, one of the very best pommel horse workers of all time.
He announced just before the end of the year that after 18 months away, he was coming back. He was incredibly excited about it, and we were incredibly excited to get the chance to talk to him. I sat down with Max, and this is what he had to say.
Great Britain's Max Whitlock into the dismount. I mean, it really is something to behold.
Well, Max Whitlock, we are honoured to have you on the podcast. You're back. Why?
Well, kicking it off straight in. It's good to be on. It's really good to be on. It's good to chat about it. And I think, I suppose, be really honest, the reason why I'm back, and I'm very excited to be back. It's amazing to be able to call myself a gymnast and be, I know that's like a comfortable feeling. That's all I've known since I was 7 years old. So be able to say I'm a gymnast again and I'm back feels amazing. I'm back because of the way it finished in Paris. I think if you really put it bluntly, it didn't finish the way I wanted it to. And it almost made me feel like I'd finished at the right time after Paris. I feel like it was the right time. And that's why I said before going into that Olympic Games that I'm going to finish after it, because it felt right in terms of that time in my career. But the way that it ended, coming fourth place with a small mistake, and not going fully to plan, just left it open-ended, like completely unfinished, and just something that just kept itching away at me ever since I was done. And I think that's why I'm back. And I think I'm very excited to be back to give it kind of another shot. So I'm fully committed back into LA Olympic Games. And I can honestly say that this time I do actually really mean it, that that will be my fifth and it will be my final Olympic Games. It has to be, because if I go on further than that, I'll be really, really pushing it in terms of age. but I think, fifth and final Olympics in LA, that's the goal. And to almost rewrite the way that my career finished, I have that opportunity. And I feel like it, for me, it would be crazy to not absolutely grab that with both hands and just go for it.
So Brisbane 2032 it is then.
I don't. My God.
So, I mean, you said, and thank you for being so honest there, you said it was itching away at you. How quickly did that itch start?
It's funny. I actually, when I got off the train, landed back, back home, I think me and my family went and sat in a cafe in a train station. This was right off the train for Paris. And emotions were so high at that point, as you can imagine. And I almost couldn't fight that feeling. And so I remember literally sitting there, I think it was having a cake or something, and I said, I'm not done. Like, I can't finish it like that way. And I look back now and I do think I kind of didn't mean it, because I was just acting emotionally and I was just splurting out. That's what I felt like. I can't finish like that. And then as time went on, I got more comfortable with the fact that I was done. I was fully retired, and I was almost to a point where, even if people mentioned it as a joke about me coming back, I was adamant that I was done. So now, looking back, and if I stuck to that decision to say that I'm done and I was adamant that I was completely retired after Paris, I almost feel like it wasn't the right way, but also it wasn't squeezing everything I could out of this sport. So I feel like now, if I carry on, I'm committing to another 2.5 years now to LA, that is everything I can do. So I'm going all out. I'm going for it massively. Risk factors through the roof, the challenges through the roof, navigating what it looks like now as a 33-year-old gymnast, and trying new routines, trying everything. I'm trying to push the boundaries on every kind of level. And that's why it's exciting, because I'm thriving off that challenge. And I'm just excited to be back and go for it. I think the risk for me to not go for that is far greater than the one to go for. I think if I fast forward 10, 20 years, I'd look back and regret not pushing on for another 2.5 years, definitely.
What does Max Whitlock with the risk factor turned up to the maximum look like? Because I'm not sure that Max Whitlock ever looked particularly restrained. So I'm excited by this new version.
Well, yeah, that's true, because, you know, I've always tried to push the boundaries, like especially with Pummel. I've always tried to have the high start value so that I know that my job going in is purely to do my routine. And if I do that, then I can hopefully obviously always have a chance of potential titles. That was always my mindset. So I think that mindset is still the same, but I want to push it even further. So I'm now relearning skills that I've done 10 years ago, which is crazy. So I'm coming back and I'm doing pommel, P-bar and high bar. I'm sticking with those three pieces, but my routines Especially on people high bar, completely different.
I mean, when you look at the current crop of pommel horse gymnasts out there, you'd have to be either completely crazy or completely full of your own, or completely confident in your own capacity to want to come back and put yourself among that. Because I mean, it's an incredible field, isn't it? Are you hungrier because of that crop of gymnasts, because you want to get out there amongst them?
Yes, 100%. And I'll be completely honest with you. So I'm not a gymnast that I know most gymnasts kind of know everyone inside out, know everyone's routines, and watch them every competition. I'm someone that I don't do that. So when it comes to knowing the level of what pommel horse is at right now with the competitors around the world, I know it's very strong because I talked to a lot of gymnasts. I talked to a lot of coaches. We got a coach in our gym who knows everything you could ever know about gymnastics. But for me, visually seeing it, I haven't seen much. So I feel like me hearing about this start score, hearing about these total scores, what the judges are looking at now, which is actually mega, mega important and very different to what it was even a year and a half ago when I was competing. It's almost focusing on that. So it's about kind of getting the ballpark figure and where everyone's sitting, of course. But then for me, it's almost I'm pushing it on my boundaries completely. So it's about how far I can do. Because at the end of the day, if my very best isn't near the other competitors, that's all I can do. But if my very best is above, that's also all I can do. And I think that if hopefully I've explained that right, but I think I'm fully focused on pushing it to the boundaries that I can see.
The more that you talk about how challenging it is, the more you talk about how much you've got to do, the more you talk about how good the rest of the field is, the more you smile. You seem to be somebody who really relishes the challenge being as big as possible.
Yeah, I think so. And I think I've always said as well, like, I've never wanted the kind of easy route when I've been younger, even when I was really young and I was trying to come up, making a name for myself. Whenever I was fighting to make the pommel horse final, I always wanted to make a final that was then jam-packed. So I never wanted to make a pommel horse final that, all the best at the time made mistakes and weren't in it because that makes your life easy, but it's also not realistic. So I suppose I'm always chasing that challenge, that target. And thriving. I think that's the most important thing. I think that does push me a lot because I in training every day, I think, a lot of people see that final performance, but in training every day, I think that's where the most important work happens.
You talk about skills you haven't done for a long time and being hungry to learn new skills. I mean, if we just go through your trophy cabinet, six Olympic medals, three of which are gold, three world titles, eight times on the podium, four European titles, four Commonwealth Games gold medals. There isn't very much that is not in your collection. There is one thing, which is a skill named after you on pommel horse. Is that something that you're actively going after?
100%. And I'm okay saying it. I want air flare. That's what I want. I'm a little bit known for doing it on the floor, and I want to be known for doing it on a pommel horse. And I want, in 10 years' time for young gymnasts to be trying the Whitlock. I think that'd be cool. If I do it, it'll be the hardest skill that's ever been done on the pommel, and the first flighted element that's ever been done. And it'll be interesting to see what would be graded. I really want to push that because I feel like we can then start unlocking new letters on where the pommel horse can go and try and really push those boundaries. I feel it deserves to unlock new letters, definitely, because it will be a crazy move. Like I'm okay saying myself, I usually play stuff down a little bit, but I think the airflow on the pommel will be really pushing it.
Let's jump back to what you said at the very start, and also at the same time, jump forwards to just after the Los Angeles Games in 2028. And you're sitting in a cafe, maybe having the same bit of cake as you had last time. What, well, not the same bit of cake, because it'd be very old then, but must be a fresh piece. But what will make you then be able to say, now I'm done, and I mean it?
That's a brilliant question. I think, as you could tell from the pause, I don't know exactly what the answer is. As you can tell, I'm so competitive. Like, I am coming back as one, and one of the main reasons is to change the way that it finished in Paris. So I want, yeah, I know chasing a high is, a lot of people say it's a dangerous game and it's hard, but I'm coming back to try and change that result. I'm competitive, I fight for titles, and that does massively motivate me. So yeah, that would be what I'd like to change, if you put it really simply. But I think I want to complete almost, I want to feel complete on what I've done in the sport. I didn't feel that after Paris. I didn't feel like, okay, I'm content with everything I've done and everything that I've managed to do. So when you look at it like that, of course I'd like, I don't even like saying it, but yeah, gold medals is what I'm trying to chase. Of course, I'd like it to be that. But when you look about feeling complete and feeling like content with what I've done, is pushing it, making my fifth Olympics, and giving it everything that I've got, would that be enough? I don't know, because of my competitiveness. But I think there's only one way for me to find out. And I think that is something that I'm going to have to try and, over this kind of period, prepare for, in terms of what that kind of looks like. And it's not almost preparing for a plan B, because I'm almost not thinking about that. I always prepare, and I have my goal and I try and go for that, and I really don't see anything else. But I don't know how I'm going to feel, and I don't know what's going to feel like, feeling like I'm done and I'm happy today and say that's end of career. I'm not sure what the answer is to that, but I think only time will tell.
Well, whatever the answer is, and whatever the next little while holds, I can say safely on behalf of all gymnastics, Max, we are thrilled that you're back, and welcome
Thank
back,
you.
and thank you for chatting with me today.
No, thank you very much for having me. And I've been massively grateful for the endless support I received coming into a sport I love doing. I love doing it day in, day out, the training, competing. So I'm grateful to be kind of welcome back in, and we'll see what we can do.
So much to look forward to as Max Whitlock's career resumes, and so much to look backwards to as well. Because one of the things, Blythe, that we want to do on the European Gymnastics podcast is to revisit with some of your favourite gymnasts, some of your favourite European championships from days gone by. I don't just mean yours personally, Blythe, I mean everyone's favourite championships. And I'm sure lots of you listening to this have got really special memories of particular competitions. So if there is a championships in any discipline of gymnastics that you'd like us to revisit, a European championships with a particular gymnast, let us know on social media, get in touch with us, and we'll try to dig through the archives and see what we can find and what we can uncover. I understand, Blythe, that there is a thing called a trend happening at the moment on social media. Would you like to explain what that is?
At the moment, everyone is looking back at 2016 with quite a lot of nostalgia, posting photos and videos of where they were and what they were doing 10 years ago.
Do you know what? I have actually seen some of this, yes.
2016 is a year that a lot of people joined some of the social networks that are very prominent now, kind of en masse. And they might have been at a point in their lives where things were just taking off for them. And so, right now, when you talk about increments of 10 years, it makes a lot of sense to look back and see where they were 10 years ago. And so lots of people are landing on 2016 and revisiting those moments that were really special to them.
So 2016 was the big kind of social media explosion for a lot of people.
In terms of platforms like Instagram and TikTok, that does seem to be the case.
So that means I'm on course then for a 2036 explosion for those things, based on how in line with popular culture I am.
Are you on TikTok, Ollie?
No. Are you?
No.
Well, that's why we are the perfect people, listeners, for you to get in touch with on social media about the European Championships that you'd like to revisit. But let's go back to why 2016 was huge for one particular gymnast. A place you know very well, Blythe, Switzerland.
The European Championships took place in Bern that year, and it was a pivotal championships for the great Swiss gymnast Julia Steingruber, who really rose up to her full potential at the championships and carried that over to the Olympic Games, where she won a historic bronze medal for Switzerland on vault.
Two gold medals at the European Championships, from Bern to Sizzling in Rio. You had the chance to sit down with the one and only Swiss who cannot miss, Julia Steingruber.
We had the Europeans for gymnastics in Bern in the ice hockey building. And it's super funny because now I'm working for this ice hockey club and I'm back in the same building. So I think that's a super nice story, to be honest. The atmosphere is different, but still, when I see some rooms, I have goosebumps. And it feels super special to work in this building now, but also it was a bit of a coming home. My floor routine. It was my last routine in Bern, and I did my most difficult floor routine I had. I didn't do well. We had the qualification, then team final and floor final, and in every competition I did a different floor routine, and in the final I packed all my difficulties in this routine. Even though I was super tired, I had a lot of energy, and I think that sums up the whole week. Well, I still have no words to describe how this year was. When I think back, I get goosebumps all over my body. I'm still speechless how it all went. I was lucky enough to have my parents in Rio, so I saw them, and we had a small dinner together. That was really good, just to put my brain a bit on the side, not to think about my next competitions already at the same day. It was really good. I had a lot of time to relax between the competitions in Rio. I was super lucky that I had time with my parents. I was struggling with twisties quite a lot since 2014. And the day before the final, it popped up again in the training hall. So I couldn't really train my waltz. I was a bit scared. I just did Yotchenko full twists, never with a double twist. Luckily, my coach was super calm. He said, "No worries, you can do it." He gave me a lot of confidence at this moment, and I was going crazy. It wasn't super a super good feeling for me to go to bed with this training, right? So the next day I woke up and I did my warm-up in the competition hall. It was okay, but still I had in my mind how the training was the day before, and somehow I managed to get in this tunnel. Mentally, I was 100% there. I was focused, and I cannot explain or describe how I did my two waltz. It was like a movie, and I think I really went in this flow status. It was a super good feeling. I was full of adrenaline. I had a lot of power, and I could just put off my brain. I didn't think at anything, and I just run. I did my two vaults, and then I knew that there are three more gymnasts. I had to wait. I was super nervous. I was even more nervous to wait than to do my two vaults. But yeah, at the end, when I saw the number three, I was speechless, absolutely speechless. Well, I think I would say it built me to the person I am today. Also in my new life as a working lady, it helped me a lot to have a good structure in my day. It helps. It helped me to set my goals high and to work for it. And I would do everything in the same way as I did.
Fantastic to hear from the great, the one and only Julia Steingruber, looking back on Bern 2016. Now we're going to switch our attentions to trampolining and look at men's tumbling. And Blythe, there was one gymnast who, despite it being a phenomenal year for tumbling, made waves and stood almost literally head and shoulders above everyone else.
And we are talking, of course, about Tofiq Aliyev of Azerbaijan, who in the men's tumbling final at the World Games in Chengdu last July did something that no tumbler, no gymnast, point blank, has ever done before. And that is to land a full.
A what?
A full. In other words, a triple twisting, triple back somersault.
A triple twisting, triple back somersault. Yes. Can we just take a moment to contemplate how that's even possible?
Well, everyone was contemplating how it was possible even after Tofiq Aliyev landed the skill. And I think some people are still contemplating exactly how it's done.
And that's why, Blythe, you, because you're the best person to do this, sat down with Tofiq Aliyev and learned about the full.
In the air, I don't care what I'm doing. I need just three twists, three flips. So I have to do it.
What went through your mind in the World Games final as you prepared to do this tumbling skill that nobody had even tried before?
Before I start to run, I was thinking that how should I celebrate when I land? I never said maybe it will not work even once, because I believed I could do it. And after I did, I just lost myself. I was like, and then, yeah.
Tofiq, in your opinion, what makes a triple twisting triple back so difficult?
For me, what I think, there is only one correct takeoff before full, which is I did in World Games. And you have to be very tight and very focused, because if you do mistake, there is no way back. You can't correct your mistake when you do full. You have everything have to be correct there.
How long did you dream about doing full before you made it a reality at the World Games?
Let's start with training. So I dreamed it was just an accident. So I wasn't dreaming of to do full, but I was just normal day and I was just sleeping, and then on my dream I saw that I'm doing full, and it was a slow motion, you know. I was watching from the side, it was a slow motion, and I'm doing here in National Gymnastics Arena. So next day I tried and I've done it. My first attempt was failed, but second one, I landed.
When did you have the dream when you saw yourself doing it in slow motion?
It was 3 or 4 months before World Games. So after I saw Dream, next day I did. I landed. Then after this, I never tried. In World Games, I tried it again in competition.
Just in the final, like that.
Yes,
Extraordinary.
exactly.
Did your competitors have any idea of what was coming?
When it's not competition, we don't see each other as a opponent. So we was talking, and I told guys that I want to try full before final. And I remember that we was in changing room with Fred Teague, and I told him that I'm gonna do it, and he was thinking that I'm joking. And then,
Do you think that you will compete the full again?
I do. Of course I do. If I want to win, I have to.
Sadly, that is the end of episode one, but it's only the start. It's barely the start of the gymnastics season. A busy 2026 is getting underway. Blythe Lawrence, what is on your competition watch list?
There are three competitions over the next several weeks. The first is the World Cup in Cottbus in Germany, which has traditionally started the international season in artistic gymnastics, dating back about 40 years. The same weekend, the World Cup of Trampoline opens up in Baku in Azerbaijan. And then in early March comes the American Cup, back for the first time in 5 years, and with a very new format.
Yes, a mixed team competition. So the top teams in Europe are going to be journeying to Las Vegas, Nevada for a taste of the LA 2028 format. And just to remind you, we had a mixed team competition at the European Championships of Artistic Gymnastics in Leipzig last year. And you can hopefully catch a look at that on websites like Eurovision Sports, where you can see our competition archive. Thank you so much, listener, for being with us. It's been wonderful to have your company. Blythe, how can people get in touch with us?
Through the European Gymnastics social media channels.
It's that simple, and it's been wonderful having you with us. And we look forward to your company next time in a month for the European Gymnastics podcast.